brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder are two well-known signature wounds of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But there is another injury, lung disease, that afflicts tens of thousands of veterans. Many blame a single defense contractor and have filed a class action lawsuit, a case that has now made its way to the Supreme Court. NewsHour producer Dan Segalin has been covering this, and Hari Srinivasan has the story.
All right. We have a burn pit down here.
This shaky video of smoke from burning garbage was shot by an American soldier in Iraq in 2008. Throughout most of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the military used so-called burn pits to dispose of virtually all waste.
That is what we live next to. Luckily, the wind's not blowing our way today.
All kinds of things went up in smoke, from batteries, paint, solvents and tires, to newspapers, plastic water bottles, styrofoam, electronic equipment, and shipping materials such as plastic wrap. Even whole vehicles were burned. At large bases, 30 to 40 tons of garbage were burned every day. At the gigantic logistical hubs, 3 to 5 times that amount was burned.
They got two piles going.
Sometimes jet fuel was even used to ignite the trash. According to the veterans we spoke to, the smoke from the burn pits permeated the living quarters and workspaces on base.
There was really no place to escape. The smoke would blow across you. You'd turn your back to it and hope that the wind would change.
You have to breathe or you die. And sometimes even the soot would fly out of the burn pits and get on your uniform or on your vehicle.
At night, when the winds dropped, that's when you did not want the burn pits to be operating, or else it would blanket the base.
These three officers, Army Sergeant First Class Stephen Gardner, Army Lieutenant Colonel Rick Lamberth, and Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Brian Bauer, were medically retired from the military. They say the burn pit smoke was toxic and made them sick.
I used to run 5-minute miles. Now I can't walk down the block without breathing real heavy. I can't carry objects without getting out of breath. I have a tightness constantly in my chest.
I no longer can hold out to run. I don't have the stamina. At one time, I could go run 5 or 6.5 miles at a time, a 10K at a time. A lot of times, even during the day, I cough and people look at me like I'm a smoker. Sometimes it's embarrassing.
I believe that I have lung cancer as a result of exposure to the burn pits. I'm not a smoker. I was diagnosed within a year after leaving active duty, and the diagnosis came from the Veterans Administration. It was diagnosed as exposure to burn pits, and I had part of my lung removed.
These men are part of a class action lawsuit, which has 250 named plaintiffs, but they represent a group of potentially up to 100,000 veterans and civilian contractors who could join the suit. They're suing Kellogg Brown & Root, or KBR, the company that used to be a subsidiary of Halliburton and was contracted to provide logistical support to the military in Iraq and Afghanistan. It was KBR's job to truck in supplies, feed troops, and get rid of the garbage.
We've outlawed burning of waste in this country for decades. You cannot go in your backyard and burn all your trash in a bucket. And the reason why is that it's known to be harmful to human health.
Susan Burke is the lead attorney for the class action lawsuit. She says KBR was negligent and made the service members sick.
One of the things that they promised to do was to take care of the waste, to dispose of waste in a manner that was not harmful to the troops. They didn't do that. So the complaint alleges that that open-air burning, which violated the terms of the contract, caused these injuries.
That's completely false. We exactly lived up to our contractual promise.
Robert Matthews is the lead counsel for KBR. He points to a letter from the commander of coalition forces in Iraq, General David Petraeus, to Congress written in 2008. The letter says, quote, "There is and will continue to be a need for burn pits during contingency operations." The Government Accountability Office issued a report confirming that the top military commanders approved the use of these open-air fires.
The decisions to use burn pits were made by senior military rank across these war theaters.
Matthew says other alternatives were not feasible. Burying the refuse off base was too risky. Burying it on base, well, there wasn't enough space. There was no recycling in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it was up to the military to decide if it wanted to bring in incinerators which burn cleanly. He says historically, the Army always burned its garbage in war zones because it's the least bad option.
More than 50% of the burn pits that are in play around Iraq and Afghanistan through that 10-year period were operated by the military itself, not by KBR or other contractors.
The class action lawsuit has been in the courts since 2008. Just earlier this year, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the case should go forward. But KBR has asked the Supreme Court to intervene. The company asserts that just like the government, it should be immune from lawsuits.
Where the United States is at war on a battlefield, engaged in combatant activities, companies like KBR, who are embedded with the forces, who are performing mission-critical services, should not be subject to the kind of claims that have been made here. If the United States is immune from such claims, so too should KBR and those other contractor companies.
Susan Burke disagrees.
What they are trying to say is that simply because they work for the government, they are the government. We know that's not the case. This is a private company that's making a huge profit margin. They are not the government, and they don't deserve the government immunities.
By 2010, the military eventually shipped in nearly 40 incinerators to Iraq and 20 to Afghanistan. Although the veterans we spoke to said they often were not used.
We don't know if we're receiving fire or if that's exploding paint cans.
Besides these legal issues, there is debate over how much burn pits contributed to people's illnesses. Craig Postlewaite is a top official in the Defense Department's Public Health Division. He says it is possible that some soldiers got sick from inhaling burn pit smoke, but not likely that many were affected.
It would be plausible for a specific individual maybe to acquire some kind of condition related to burn pit smoke, depending on how close they were to the burn pit, how much smoke they breathed, individual susceptibilities, and even exposure to other airborne particulates. We feel that if there are people who have been harmed by burn pit emissions, the numbers are fairly low.
Postlewaite points to many other pollutants in the air that could have caused veterans respiratory problems.
It's a very, very dusty environment. Plus, the urban pollutants aren't regulated well. Their cars and exhaust are not regulated, so there's a lot of airborne material in the air that could be contributory towards long-term health effects.
This is really inhibiting the fibrosis.
But Dr. Anthony Zima sees a direct connection between sick veterans and the burn pits. At Stony Brook School of Medicine in New York, where he does research, he's exposed mice to dust from military bases in Iraq that had burn pits.
In this healthy mouse, we then gave dust from Camp Victory, Iraq, collected in 2007 at the time they had burn pits, and the dust induces a lung injury.
Zima has a private practice and is also a doctor at Northport Veterans Affairs Medical Center, although the views he expresses here are his own.
Humans exposed to particulate matter air pollution have a higher risk of death, premature death. There are higher risks of lung disease, such as premature emphysema, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, even in the absence of smoking, as well as asthma. Benzene is a carcinogen. So if you burn your trash with jet fuel called JP-8, when you burn in a burn pit, it's burning at low heat. At low heat, it generates more particles and has products of incomplete combustion. These products are dangerous. In addition, if you burn plastic water bottles, among the chemicals you can release include a neurotoxin called N-hexane.
While the lawyers and the health professionals debate the legal and medical issues, the veterans we spoke to compare their experiences to soldiers exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam. That's the defoliant the Army used, which caused cancer, nerve damage, and respiratory injury in hundreds of thousands of soldiers. Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Brian Bauer.
Nobody went out to purposely hurt, again, soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. And so, but people are suffering from exposure to it afterwards. And the military response is very similar probably to Agent Orange, which was at first denial, assessment, acceptance of culpability, and treatment. We seem to be going through those same phases now.
The veterans we spoke to say while they wish they weren't sick, they'd still serve in Iraq and Afghanistan all over again.
I'm proud of my military service. I'm proud of what the military has done over there. If I had known that this would be my outcome, I still would have continued and done exactly the same thing.
Meanwhile, KBR says if they and other battlefield defense contractors are allowed to be sued, it's unlikely they would deploy with the military in the next war.
If they are exposed to these lawsuits for decades of litigation and potentially tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in liabilities, then it's very likely that these companies are going to think twice about stepping forward the next time this country goes to war.
The Supreme Court is now in the process of deciding whether or not to hear the case or to send it back to a lower court where it can go to trial. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Hari Srinivasan.
If you would like more on this story, go to our website for extended interviews and a slideshow of burn pit photos submitted to us by those who served in Iraq and Afghanistan.